Oh. Okay, so and I'm going to introduce our speaker for today, who is Tish. And I feel really honored to introduce Tish. I've known Tish since I came in the program in 2019, and my impression of her was one of calm, peace, and recovery. And that really attracted me to her as a person, and I said, "This is somebody I want to get to know." And she was available for me when I reached out to her, and I've since gotten to know her as a person. We've talked recovery, we've talked just, day-to-day things, and she's someone who's an inspiration to me, and I'm just, more so than just a friend in Depressed Anonymous, I now consider her a personal friend, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to know her through this program. So with that, I give you Tish.
Thank you so much, Stacy. Thank you for your kind words. And we call each other good friends. So I'm glad that we're friends. And thank you also for asking me to speak here today. I really enjoy this fellowship. I love sharing my recovery and where I've been and how DA has helped me. And thank you, Bernard, for your service as well, and for everyone for being here. I'm so happy that everybody's here, and I feel very relaxed and calm this morning. I don't usually feel that way before I speak, but I don't know, whatever my higher power is doing for me today, I feel calm. And it's hard to see the timer. I don't know why, but anyway. The first time I came to DA was in 2002. It wasn't online then. We didn't know anything about virtual meetings then. And I got in touch with Hugh by email, I'm sure. And I bought the book. And myself and another friend in recovery, another 12-step program, started DA here in Ottawa, Ontario. And that's when I first learned that I can undepress myself, which was a very novel idea for me. I never ever heard that before. And so I continued in the program, the meeting. I went to face-to-face meetings for 5 years until the meeting folded. And then, but one of the key things that I learned in DA at that time was that resentment for me equaled depression. I learned that I could no longer hang on to resentment because I internalized it and I got depressed. I didn't get depressed in a clinical way until 1994, I experienced my first depression, postpartum depression. And the first thing my doctor told me was, it's not my fault. And of course, when I entered DA, I learned that I was responsible for depressing myself. And I'll just go back a bit to tell you a bit about my childhood. So I grew up in an alcoholic home where both my parents were alcoholics. My dad got sober when I was 6 years old, so I have no recollection of his drinking, but certainly was affected by his ism, his alcoholism. And I didn't know at the time that my mom was a secret drinker and food addict, compulsive overeater, binge eater. I didn't find out until a couple of years ago that my mom was a active alcoholic during my childhood. All I knew was that I was affected by my dad's drinking and went to a program at an early age for that. And then one of the questions in the workbook on page 8, it's 1.4. How far back in time can I remember always feeling sad and wanting to withdraw from others? So when I answered that question, when I thought about that question, when I came back to DA in 2018, when I did the workbook questions, I had never thought of that question before from a depressed perspective. And it was the very first time when I answered the question, I was 11 years old, when I remember feeling sad and realizing now that I was sadding myself and how I coped with the trauma of my childhood growing up with alcoholism and compulsive eating as an addiction, I started using food at a young age. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And it was when I was 11 years old that I started binging. And I was 12 years old when I started drinking. And I was also 12 years old when I became addicted and obsessed with boys. And I also overslept as a teenager all my life up until about 4 years ago. And through DA, I learned that the harsh self-criticism is what also led to my depression. And the toxic shame that I grew up with I coped with the toxic shame that I grew up with by using the food and alcohol and boys and sleeping. And I figured out that my core beliefs are that I'm stupid, I'm not good enough, there's something wrong with me, I can't trust myself, I'm not worthy of love or good things or respect, and I'm not lovable. So those are most of the core beliefs that I grew up with that I didn't know until DA. Until I knew that I grew up with alcoholism and I went to a program for that for a long, long time. But I never knew about, the negative self-image and the negative self-talk, the self-criticism that led to sadding myself. Because it wasn't until I was 34 when I had my first child that I actually got depressed. So I was many, many years thinking negatively and sadding myself, but it never resulted in depression until then. And the other core belief that I tell myself, or the other thing that I tell myself with regards to the depression is I can't cope. And so when I had my first child, I was living far away from my family. We had no family here. And when my husband went back to work 3 weeks after she was born and I was on maternity leave, I told myself I couldn't cope. And I didn't. And 3 months later, I was diagnosed with postpartum depression. There's another part in the DA manual on page 30. There's a couple of things. Okay, on page 30. 30 in the third edition, or the old edition. I don't know what it is in the new edition, although I can find that for you if you need it. When we are depressed, we feel dependent on all the forces that act on us and our environment. And that's exactly how I felt. I felt like I was going with the wind. Whatever happened, I reacted to it. And I felt like I had no choice but to go that way, right? And so in 1998, my dad passed away. He had Alzheimer's for 10 years. And I thought I had done all my grieving and all my work by the time he passed. But no, a couple of weeks after he passed, I started going down into depression. And that was in 1998. And a year later, I learned how to do because I'm in another 12-step program at this time and for a long time. Through doing the steps, learning how to do the steps 4 through 9 for the first time, well, actually for step 4 for the first time, according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. That summer, I wrote myself out of the depression because I wrote about my dad. And what came out of all that writing was the belief that I can't cope. When he passed away, I told myself I can't cope because we had an estranged relationship. He wasn't someone that could talk to his children. And so I thought, in my mind, I thought, okay, this is it. This is done. All my life, I've tried to connect with my dad. And now he's gone. So that will never happen. So I told myself that I couldn't cope with the fact that he had passed and that our relationship was still unresolved for me. And so during that depression, I hit bottom. And I found, like many people here, I found DA on the internet. Yes, I found it on the internet, but there's no internet meetings. So I've already told you that I came to DA. And so I remained free from depression for 10 years. And then by 10 years, I was feeling so great. I thought, okay, like now it's time to go off medication. Because I felt I was well enough. And, I talked to my doctor and I said, I want to go really slow. And over 3 months, I gradually came off medication. And before I was totally off, I went back into the depression. And I always believed before that the medication wasn't really doing that much for me. And I thought, and I really didn't believe in the chemical imbalance in my brain with the depression. And so I don't know if I was addicted to the medication or the medication is chemically balancing my brain, but I quickly went right back on the medication and have been ever since and will be for the rest of my life for whatever reason. Whatever it does for me, I need to stay on it. But now again, I'm in the depression again. And I didn't think of DA at that time, but I was off work again. Now this is my third time being off work for about a year and a half. And I got well, went back to work. And then in 2015, my work environment changed 360 degrees and became a very toxic environment for me. And it triggered the trauma of my childhood, which I was totally unaware of at the time. And so by July 2016, I again for the fourth. This is now my fourth time going on sick leave from work. And I didn't know what was happening. I started seeing my psychiatrist again. He wasn't helping me clarify what was happening. I went back to work in December for 6 weeks, and that didn't work out, and I've been on sick leave since that time. And through my own, So this is like the beginnings of depression are very, very chronic, have been always very, very chronic for me, where I can't do anything. I can't hardly get out of bed. I get dressed in the morning, make my bed, do stuff around the house. I can wash and shower and take care of myself in that way, and that's probably about it. And so I continue to see my psychiatrist and for about a year and a half, and I felt he wasn't helping me in any way. And then I just decided to stop doing anything, not to go to counseling or whatever. I just prayed and asked my higher power, you know, waited on my higher power, prayed and asked my higher power, you know, what was next. And then he gave me this intuitive thought, get your DA book out. So January 2018, I got my DA book out and I got hope again. I got in touch with Hugh, who gave me a name of a member who had started a Skype meeting. You know, and we all know that member, Kim. Kim and another lady, there were two members at the time, and we had, they had a meeting every Sunday. And so every Sunday I went to the meeting with Kim and another lady, and then eventually I think we got more people. And thank you so much, Kim. I don't know if you're here or not. I don't think she's here right now. But thank you, Kim. Thanks to Kim for starting that Skype meeting. And today is the result of that Skype meeting. So January, I started reading fervently the DA manual, word for word, paragraph by paragraph, soaking it all in every day, reading bit by bit the DA manual, having hope once a week. And then in March of that year, I started the second meeting, which was on a Thursday. So for more than a year, Kim chaired every single Sunday and I chaired every single Thursday until people got more comfortable to chair the meetings. And then since COVID, we've had a meeting every single day. And now we have evening meetings and two on Sunday, and it's just fabulous. So anyway, enough of that. But anyway, so I also started reading a story in the story number 21, which is about hope. And funny enough, my mom's name is Hope. God bless her. And I started reading this every day. So today's Hope, Depressed Anonymous, is story number 21. It's on page 135 in the new book and page 156 in the old book. And the first thing is, she has six, or yeah, Mary wrote it. She has six things. And it says, the first one says, today I can experience hope. I will believe I can live this day with pleasant thoughts. And this is what I read this every day, but the first what I just read is what I focused on. And in the sixth one, it says, I can live this entire day hopeful. And I just think it's so wonderful and apropos that our theme today is hope. Because as soon as I came back to DA, I got hope again. And every time I went to the meeting, I looked forward to the meeting, I got more hope. And just having hope that other people like Kim and the other lady knew exactly what I was talking about. And they knew how I felt and they knew exactly what I was going through. And I picked up in reading the first couple of chapters in the DA book, motivation follows action. For every negative thought, substitute 3 positive thoughts. When I first read that, I thought, oh my God, that's impossible. Like there's no way I can think of 3 positive thoughts for every negative thought. Even 1 positive thought is hard enough, but 3. And I thought that that was just something I could never ever do. And in the book, it mentions the 4 C's. I've heard of the 3 C's in another program, but the 4 C's are, I didn't cause it, I can't cure it, I can't control it, but I can cope. So I really, really like that one. So in step 1, I'm going on to something different now. So I can cope was, I mean, you can see why I really love that because that's one of my beliefs, I can't cope. So when I get into difficulty, that's one of the things that comes out of my writing is that I can't cope. And when I see that, it's like, oh yeah, I know how to turn that around. I can cope. And then I go on, you know, thinking about the ways that I can cope and the choices that I have. Because with depression, I felt I had no choice. This thing happened to me. There's nothing I can do about it. I just have to live with it. I can't change it. Nobody seems to be able to help me. I can't help myself. I don't know how to do it. And so, DA has given me lots and lots of tools and the steps to get to recover from depression. in step 1, I learned that I was powerless, and like other things in this program, it's a paradox, right? Like we're powerless, but we're not powerless. Like I'm powerless, but I'm not helpless. I really like that. Like I'm powerless over depression. I can't help the first thought, but I can change the second thought. And so saying that and even with other things, like I'm powerless over my mom, say for example, but I'm not helpless. I have choices. I'm not a victim. I can choose to not depress myself over what's happening in her life. And one of the other things that I really, really love, which I didn't love in the beginning, is that I'm responsible for depressing myself. And I get empowered when I take responsibility for myself. And because I've been in recovery over 40 years in other programs, I never, ever thought that I wasn't responsible for myself, that I didn't take responsibility for myself, because I've been through the steps many times. I've done inventories and made amends and took, you know, pay my bills. And I'm a very, very responsible person. Over responsible sometimes. And but I learned that I don't want to face things. I don't want to take responsibility for myself. I don't want to take action. I want to procrastinate. I don't want to look at things. I don't want to look at my fears. I don't want to take responsibility for my fears and my thoughts. And so when I am saddening myself and with the writing, doing the steps and talking to my sponsor, the steps just naturally help me take responsibility for myself. And then I've learned to just naturally take responsibility for my thoughts and behavior. Sometimes, but you know, I'm always doing step work because there's always shit going on in my head. There's always crap going on in my head that I have to take responsibility for. And it's a process. It's not something that just happens. It's a process of learning. And like in the first time I came to DA, the second time I came to DA, I knew that my internalized anger and resentment equaled depression. And that when I was sadding myself, one of the first things that happens to me is I get tired. I get physically tired. I can go to bed. I feel like I want to go to bed and I could sleep the day away. But when I do the step work and get in touch with that sadness myself, and get in touch with that resentment and that anger, and go through the step four process with it of writing why I'm resentful, what instincts does it affect? Sorry, why I'm resentful, how I feel about it, purge out all my feelings about it, what instincts are affected. My fears, saying the fear prayer, saying the sick man prayer, and then looking at my defects. When I go through that process, which is for me the step four process, I become energized. I become empowered. I get to see my part in it. I get to see the core beliefs that I have, especially when I go through the instincts of my self-esteem. How is my self-esteem affected? Well, when I'm growing up, those core beliefs come back all the time through my instincts. I'm stupid. There's something wrong with me. It's my fault. I'm responsible. I'm not worthy. I don't trust myself. I can't cope. You know, I'm not loved. My emotional security, my personal relations, financial security, sex, and ambitions. So when I look at all those things, I get to the core beliefs of why I have this resentment. And that helps me to change those core beliefs with the help of DA by reframing them. I'm smart. I'm really smart. I can trust myself. I am worthy. My higher power gives me my worth, not other people. There's nothing wrong with me. I am a lovable, kind, gentle, sensitive, affectionate, honest, open person. Before DA, I had a close and strong connection with my higher power. But since DA, that has escalated, has gotten so much better. And I just want you to, a couple of years ago, and anybody who knows me here at this meeting knows that I love affirmations and I love reading healing thoughts and positive thoughts. So I wrote this prayer a couple of years ago that I no longer say, but I said every day, and it helped increase my, helped me become closer to my higher power. And it's my higher power speaking to me. And she says, I see you. I hear you. I believe, accept, and trust you. I know you, respect and honor you, and I am healing you. I am guiding you, caring for you, and here for you, with you and in you. I love, cherish, and adore you. I am protecting you with my shield of love and light that is surrounding you like a bubble. You are completely protected and safe. I am holding you in my arms. My love is flowing through you and around you. You are in my heart. You are my darling, my peanut, my sweet pea, and munchkin. So I read that for a very, very long time. So now, a couple of years later, 3 years later, I have this ongoing conversation with my higher power throughout the day, when I begin my day with prayer and meditation, she talks to me, I talk to her in a very kind, loving, gentle way. And in that, and because of that, and because of DA teaching me that and telling me that it's the harsh self-criticism that leads to my depression and is present during the depression, that loving myself in this way with my higher power has helped heal my self-hatred and has turned into self-love, loving myself and feeling and taking the time to feel loved by my higher power and by myself, not just by my higher power, but feeling loved by myself. And the other thing that really helped me is in the DA book where it talked about to risk feeling different. And to me, risk is the right word because I was terrified to think differently or feel differently because I didn't want to, because I was so comfortable in the depression, in the self-hatred talk, in the comfort of the isolation, not taking responsibility for myself, not facing the world, not being able to face people when I walked up the street to see my neighbors or whatever, like just in all that safety, which is totally insane. But in the DA book, I don't know if I have this. Yeah, it's on page 12 in the old book. It talks about that time when we were depressed was really a time of healing as well for us. It says, in the safety of the prison of depression, because it is safe for us, right? We give ourselves the time and space where we can review the situation. So to me, that's a very loving, kind, gentle way of looking at the times that I was in depression. It gave me the time and space to review the situation and see whether we can arrive at a meaning for ourselves in our life, which will allow us to go on with our lives and to live in some degree of safety and happiness, which we were all able to do when we came to DA, right? And I don't know how I started to risk thinking differently, but I just know that it was very, very scary, very painful. I was terrified, but with the strength of the group and my higher power and the program, I was able to take baby steps and start thinking differently. And being in another 12-step program, other 12-step programs, I've done step 10s and step 4s and 5s umpteen number of times, but in step 6 and 7, I don't know what you consider this, but anyway, I could never let go of the past. Like even though I did all these inventories and I would keep talking about the same kinds of situations, and I could just never let go of all those resentments and hurts. And so there's a line in the DA book, I didn't write down the page, I don't know where it is. I can let go of past hurts and resentments, and DA has helped me to do that. That I don't need to keep resenting these resentments all over again. I don't need to drudge them up. I can let go of them. And by reframing those core beliefs, by knowing that the depression for me is dredging up the past and just going down that spiral, like just one thought leads to the next thought, and I just get addicted to the negative thinking and dredging up all these old things and old past hurts and resentments. And that's what I do with the depression, right? I just jump on myself all over again with all the past hurts and resentments. And so...
So 3 minutes, please, Tish.
Say that again?
About 3 minutes left.
It's okay.
Pleasure.
Thank you, because I can't see the timer. thank you, because I thought I still have lots to say. But anyway, I'll jump through it. Because of DA, I've been able to let go of those past hurts and resentments. And I can have difficult conversations today. And I've had them with my family. And my mom is my biggest trigger. And in the past, I would only call her like once every 2 months. Now I call her like 2-3 times a week, all because of the DA recovery. And I learned that the rage, the anger I have, I swore I would never be like my dad, who was a rageaholic. And I became that same person. I had a lot of rage and I was in denial about it. And even in so much recovery. And so DA helped me to get in touch with that rage and that anger. And in the workbook, it has a wonderful, wonderful pages on anger. And I was able to take responsibility for my anger, apologize to my daughter, and try to help her understand that my rage and my anger may have caused her to be the anxious person that she became. And I was also able to make a really tough decision to go on osteoporosis medication, which 12 years ago, I just put my head in the sand. And 2 years ago, I was able to start osteomedication. And a couple of months ago, I was able to take a more aggressive medication with the guidance and help of my higher power. And it's going really, really well. So I just want to close with one thing. I didn't know this until I read this a couple of weeks ago, that I found joy again. And I actually go to bed at night with a smile on my face most nights. And some nights I even hug myself. It's like, oh, so happy. I just want to read this to you. I have a daily reader that I read every day, and I found this the other day, came across this. Somewhere along my journey, it happened. Quietly, imperceptibly, almost without knowing it.
I'm afraid it's time, Tish.
Okay, thank you. I'll just wrap up with this.
Pleasure.
I relaxed. I got comfortable with myself. I began enjoying myself, accepting myself and accepting life. Liking life, I found joy. Don't worry about finding joy, because somewhere along your journey, joy will find you. Thank you.